So we've all asked those questions. We've all wondered, how do we thrive in the midst of hard circumstances? How do we thrive when we're struggling to believe? And maybe we're wondering, is God really with me? Is what he said really true? Or maybe you've been like me and thought, well, I know it's true, but I'm wondering if it's true for me right now. Have you ever thought, well, I believe God will do that for someone else, but maybe not for me? Walking in faith, walking in the power of our identity in Christ is a moment-by-moment journey, and it lasts a lifetime. And most of that journey, we're probably struggling to feel like we've got it all together. But as long as we've got our faith in the one that we know has it all together, we're okay. Amen. Life doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to look exactly like we planned. Do you have a planner? I know I've got some friends here who love planning, and they love planners. And there's something inside of us. We want to plan it all out. We have a vision of what the picture perfect family looks like, what the picture perfect body looks like. We have a vision of what we want our lives to look like. We also have a vision of what we think God wants us to look like. And so sometimes we like to get in there and help him. Help him, because he might not be quite sure what I'm supposed to be like. And so if I get in there and help him out, we're all good. And then I wonder why he's not working. Have you ever done that? I know, right? So, but that time in California, where we were getting ready to move to California, and we are a Marine Corps family. We had 3 children at the time, 2, 4, and 6. And we had a Dodge Green Caravan. And it was going to go from Eastern North Carolina, Camp Lejeune, to Monterey, California. I know y'all were really sad I had to move to Monterey. But a few weeks before we moved, I went to the doctor. And they did some blood work. And I asked, how'd the blood work turn out? And they said, you need to go to the hospital right now. Your thyroid is completely out of whack. I'm like, my what? That's that thing that keeps me from getting fat. And so they did an uptake test and said, you have Graves' disease. And I'm like, I do not have time to be sick. We're moving in 3 weeks. And we're not just moving down the street. We're moving 2,000 miles plus across the country with 3 little kids in the van. I really wasn't sure how I was going to stay sane with that one. But I knew we had to do it. And I knew that I could not change my schedule because my body was breaking down. So I prayed and hoped it would be okay. And we got in the car and we took off. And we watched Star Wars again and again and again on video player. Because that's what 6-year-old boys want to watch, right? And little sisters always just do what the big brothers want to do at that age. So I thought it'd be okay. But I didn't realize how that transition was going to become a pivotal moment or time in my life where it was really going to bring me to an experience that I couldn't muster through on my own. Things weren't going to be okay for a season. I wasn't going to feel okay. So, now faith is for this moment. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I can't see my slides, so I have no idea. but now faith is for this moment. And maybe you've read this verse before and not keyed into that now word. Now faith. Faith for right now. This moment. is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. When we're having trouble, when we are struggling with our faith in whatever way it looks in the moment, we've got a choice that we can make, and that is to have now faith. To right now say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you. And sometimes we feel like if I just had more faith, I just need to work a little harder to have more faith. I need to study my Bible a little bit more. I need to pray harder. I need to memorize 10 more verses. And all of those things are good, and they do impact our faith. But the action on our part is not the responsibility piece. That's the obedience piece. Faith is a gift from God. And it doesn't come by trying harder. And sometimes I think we struggle with our faith finding fault with, well, if I just knew the right words to pray. If I could pray like so and so, I would have more faith. I would experience God working more in my life. Well, if I would get up early enough to open my Bible, I would experience more of God in my life. This is true, probably, but faith is the gift of God, and so to have faith in this moment, we've got to turn our attention to God and believe Him and trust Him and then ask Him for that faith for this moment. Lord, give me faith for this moment. Give me your life for this moment, because I don't have it. And you know, sometimes I think we think God doesn't really realize how broken we are. Like, we have to kind of cover it up and dress it up nice. Girlfriends, He knows exactly the kind of mess and the kind of wonderful that's all mixed up inside of you. And He loves it. He loves you just like you are. But He's not going to let you stay just like you are. But that job of growing your faith is God's work in your life, and we cooperate, we participate. But just because I do all the right things, if I'm depending on myself, I'm only going to get so far. And there's going to come a time when the circumstances in life are tough enough that my own efforts and my own trying to trust God is not going to work. And God does that by design. Every now and then, He lets us get into a situation where the pressure is tough enough that we will actually realize we cannot do it on our own. And we turn to Him in a gut-level way when we realize that we cannot do what it takes. So back to my story about California. We make it across the country. And I'm still hanging in there. And we drive up to base housing. And someone else has picked out a house for us. You may not have ever had that experience. But if you've been in the military, you probably have. So I have no idea what kind of house, what size, what anything. And we pull up with our van and our trailer. And I said to my husband, this cannot be the right address, honey. And he said, no, this is the address. I looked at that house, and my internal weather system went totally out of control, because this is what I saw. There was mold on the side of the house, dank, yellow, peeling paint. There was weeds knee-high all over the yard and in all the cracks of the cement in the driveway. There was a hole in the front of the house. And I was like immediately going to, did a snake go in there? And it was a tiny house. And I knew that we had 10,000 plus pounds of household goods getting ready to be delivered. And I thought, it's just going to live in the driveway. It's not even going to fit in the house. And my thyroid took that moment to just spin completely out of control with anxiety. And it was months. Months before my hands stopped shaking. I was terrified all the time, and I literally thought I was going crazy, because I knew that I was overreacting. I'm sure you've never overreacted. But I just totally didn't know what to do with myself, and I was miserable. If you've ever struggled with anxiety, you know how miserable it is. And you know that feeling when you're going up a roller coaster and you get to the top of the hill and you start down the plunge? You know how that feels, all that adrenaline in your system? That's the way I felt, but it wouldn't turn off. But I didn't sign up for that ride. I didn't want to be there. And we've all had situations and circumstances in our life where we didn't sign up for the ride and we don't want to be there and we don't like what's happening. And those are the times that we need to hold on to now faith. Not because we've got enough faith, but because we've got faith in the one who's got all the faith that we need, and he lives inside of us. Now faith. Faith doesn't come by trying harder. It comes by trusting more. So we've all had difficult experiences, but here's something for you to think about. If faith depends on me trying harder, of praying the right prayers and doing the right things, that puts it all on me, right? That's not how it works. But we all have this independent nature in us, and we want to get in there and help God out. We want to make it about us so oftentimes. And that was a season of my life where I was so broken, I could not come close to fixing myself. I just wanted to make it through the next night. I didn't sleep for months. I would pace the floor. I'm pretty sure I wore the carpet thin. I wanted to walk outside, but I was afraid to go outside at night. Like my body was so restless, but I was so exhausted I could barely stand some days. I dropped about 20, 25 pounds in 2 months because I couldn't eat. It was miserable. And I could not feel the Lord's presence. I could not figure out what to do. Everything I tried, nothing worked. And my doctors would say, well, you know, you have Graves' disease. As if, you know, okay, you're just going to have to live with it, sis. And nothing I tried worked. And we all have situations where we need that now faith. Because our own efforts only take us so far, and sometimes there are circumstances in life that doesn't matter what we try, it doesn't work. And when we are in those situations and we make those choices to trust God one moment at a time, those are brave acts of faith. Those are actually mountain-moving acts of faith. Because you're not giving up and you're not giving in. Even if you can't solve the problems that you're facing, you're choosing to turn your attention to God rather than staying focused on the problem. And your life might look like this. One and done rarely works in this circumstance. So that's why in the moment we have to keep making those choices to trust the Lord. During those days, fear stormed in with a conquering type of vengeance. And I didn't like that girl. I didn't want to be that girl. You know that one that's just a wigged out mess? I didn't want to be her. But I got to be her for a while. And God used that time in my life to teach me that believing God is a decision, not an emotion. Because of the level of anxiety I was experiencing, I could not feel, like I said before, I could not feel God's presence. And my doubts were spooling up just as fast as my fears were. But I kept, by the grace of God, when I would pace at night and then be on my knees on the floor, I would say, Lord, I can't feel you, but I know that you're real. I know that you're here. I can't feel you, but I refuse. I will not stop believing that you are who you said you are. Amen. And I would love it if you make me feel better right this moment. Please. And that wasn't the case, but night after night, the Lord kept having me say that. I can't feel you, but I know that you're real. And with the distance of time, I see now that he was teaching me to trust him moment by moment, regardless of what my emotions were telling me or regardless of what my circumstances were. And so this little phrase, believing God is a decision, not an emotion, is very, very powerful, girlfriends. It is. It's very powerful. So I hope that you will remember that one. I didn't recognize myself anymore. Who was this frantic, fear-crazed woman who could sit in the stand in the grocery store aisle looking at the kinds of toothpaste and take 10 minutes to figure out which one she was going to buy? That's not me. But it was me for that season. And nothing I tried, like I said, nothing I tried helped me feel better. I want to share with you another verse that the Lord put on my heart for today. And it is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man, the righteous woman will live by faith.'" Amen. By faith. So I have a slide of a waterfall. I want to show you this for a second. Look at the power of that water. Jesus said he is the living water. And sometimes we think, oh, just a little sprinkle will do you. Friends, that's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith that I need. The power of God. And I love this just little video clip that shows just the sheer power of that water coming over the cliff. I love that because if we take a look at the word power, it is the miraculous power. It is the ability of God. It is the abundance of God. It is the might of God at work. It is the power, the strength, the violence. Not violence to harm you, but the sheer... Look at the power of that water. Do you think it took a mighty power to raise Jesus from the dead? Amen. Yes. And I think sometimes we need a visual of the power of God. And we can go past that slide just so that it doesn't keep distracting us with the movement. But that power, the strength of God at work. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." Who is doing the saving? God. God in his mighty power is a God who saves. And that word salvation, a lot of times I think we think of salvation in terms of, yes, I've got my ticket punched, I'm going to heaven, I'll spend eternity with Jesus, hallelujah. And that's true. But salvation, if we look at the definition, it is also a present reality. Salvation begins the moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your life. You don't have to wait until heaven to experience the power, the saving power of God at work in you, particularly when we face the things that we can't solve on our own. Particularly when we have those moments where our faith is teetering on the edge of a cliff, we need to remember God is the one with power. He has the power that will save me, both for eternity and right now in this moment. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. A little bit more fun about that word salvation for you here. It is deliverance. Salvation is deliverance from the enemy. It's deliverance from evil. It is deliverance from the things that hold us in chains. For me in that time, it was deliverance from anxiety. Maybe for you, it's deliverance from a temper that causes you to lose your temper and say things you regret. Maybe it is a deliverance from an addiction. Maybe it is a deliverance from a relationship that is not healthy. We have all kinds of needs in our lives, friends. And God's power for salvation, for entering into the moment with His mighty, miraculous, saving presence. There's never a moment He's not working. Never a moment He's not God. And never a moment He's not with us, no matter what it feels like and no matter what is happening around us or in us even. So, a couple of other things about that saving. It is the present possession of all true Christians. Nobody gets left out of this one, girls. If you are a child of God, you have that saving power of God within you. And He indwells you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know? Do you not know that you, sister, that you, anxious one, that you, worrywart, that you, messy one, that you that doesn't get it right, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you, and He is the power of God. That's the life that God wants us to learn how to live out of, to live from. That's the life where victory is found moment by moment. And that victory doesn't rely on our circumstances falling into line with our plan. See, here's one thing that I didn't realize, is that every time I was on my knees in my house in the dark of the night, so afraid and so weak and so broken, every time I said, "Lord, I cannot feel you, but I believe you," that was victory. That was thriving, actually, in some crazy, weird way that I would love never to have to experience again. But it was thriving because I was choosing to believe God no matter what. And God will put us all in circumstances from time to time where we have to make those choices. You know what? And sometimes we might not make the right choice. I had plenty of those choices too. I had plenty of moments where I was ranting, where I was scribbling in my journal fears and doubts and questions and why me's. But at the end of the day, literally and figuratively, the power of God moved me to keep saying, "I can't feel you, but I know that you're with me. I'm going to put my faith in you." And that is where God is working in all of our lives. So just a little bit more about that verse, because God just, He really brought that verse to me for this group. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And that, you know, that question of, I believe God will do it for somebody else, but I'm not sure He'll do it for me. Camp out right there. For everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's everyone. No distinctions. God does not play favorites. He doesn't say, "Well, she was an A-plus student in school, so I'm going to give her better stuff. I'm going to be more powerful in her life." It's all about how much you choose to trust Him and how much you let Him work in you. Right? So, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the righteousness of God, which is revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the righteous woman will live by faith." So this believing, there's a lot in my book about believing God moment by moment, trusting Him moment by moment. What does this mean? That Greek word means to have faith. We got that. We figured that one out. But there's some treasures in the definitions of this word that I do not want for you to miss. So it is to have faith, to entrust especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. To everyone who believes, to everyone who trusts their spiritual well-being to Christ, Do you get it? Do you catch where I'm going with this? That if we put our faith in God to take care of our spiritual well-being, we can be busy about the process of cooperating with Him rather than trying to fix ourselves up and create and manufacture our own faith life that looks like we think it should. We can relax a little bit because we're trusting God to do the work. We're trusting our spiritual well-being to God. Now, in this season of life, my body, soul, and spirit were so disconnected, so not in line, not working in harmony. I felt like my body was broken. And I kept trusting the Lord, and I didn't know what the outcome would be. I could have never dreamed in that moment that I would be standing before you today. I was afraid to walk out of my house at that time. That I would be standing before you today sharing some of the things that God taught me through a trial. I would have never dreamed that. But God is so faithful. We can trust Him with our spiritual well-being. And there's one other treasure in that word, believe. And that is to think to be true, your mind, to be persuaded of, to credit it to be true, and to place confidence in it. So when thoughts come to our minds, when doubts come to our minds, when our feelings have messages that tell us things like God's left you high and dry, or you'll never get it together, or you're worthless, or you are rejected, whatever those messages and mess that is happening within us, when we choose to put our confidence in what God says, when we choose to live like what God says is true, we experience that power of God manifesting Himself in the moment. And the first thing that He delivers up is more faith. Because He is the one who's sovereign over your spiritual growth and development and your spiritual well-being. So righteousness of God, it's revealed. It's something God is revealing to us. We're getting an opportunity to discover it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit working in our circumstances. And sometimes those circumstances are really not fun. And sometimes those circumstances are wonderful. Sometimes they're joyful. The Holy Spirit is working in the whole of your life to make your life whole. And we oftentimes want to pick and choose and pull out those best moments, like Facebook faith. Right? We want to put those best moments where we got our picture just so, you know, and we look our thinnest and it's a good hair day. But God's working in the whole of our life, and we can trust Him with all of the problems, with all of the mess, and all of the mess that's going on inside, even when we don't feel very holy. Now, if I were to say, hey, are you holy? Would you feel just a little awkward going, yes, sir, I am. Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm holy, holy, holy. Would you feel just a little uncomfortable in today's world? If you're like me, your first thought is, well, if I did this, if I prayed a little harder, if I was a little more faithful, then I'd be a little closer to holy, because I keep wanting to put the responsibility back on my performance rather than the power of God working within me. I want to keep trying to do it better rather than trusting God with my spiritual well-being, growth, and development. And God just has to keep reminding me that He's the one in control. He put His life in me, and I can thrive, letting Him work within me. So this life, the righteousness of God will be revealed from faith to faith. That means it's a progression. We're growing one moment at a time, one day at a time, one trial at a time, one mistake at a time. One get it wrong moment at a time, one get it right moment at a time, from faith to faith, as we keep putting our confidence in God, that the righteous man shall live by faith. So, you know, like the equation begins with faith. You add faith, you walk in faith, and then you live in faith. It's all about what God's doing.
And it's all about faith. So this living word, this word is one of the most wonderful words besides the name of Jesus that I think is in the Bible. And it's the word Zoe. And it is the life of God. It's the life of Christ. It is to have true life, to be worthy of the name of Jesus. It is active. It is blessed. It is happy. It is endless in the kingdom of God. And it means to be live in a it's a manner of living and acting, having vital power of itself, exerting the same upon the soul to be full of vigor. It is this supernatural energy and life of Christ that indwells us, that God wants us to learn how to thrive in, so he can supply that faith when we need it, so that he can express himself as patience when we're needing patience, so he can express himself with love when someone is acting unlovely to us. The life of Christ within us. And it is a vitality. It is something that will make us thrive. And God does not want us to miss out on that. And so the more we trust him to be the life of Christ within us, the more we're going to experience it working forward, expressing itself forward. Because holiness is what God is expressing through me, not my ability to make myself good. Like I said, at this time in my life, my emotions were all over the place. And we had to get our kids settled into school, which sent me all kinds of crazy directions of anxiety. Christian school, homeschool, public school. Ah! I'm sure you've never worried about what to do with your children. I can remember one day driving up to a stoplight, taking my kids to school after we'd made that decision, and I just sat there. And I was so sleep deprived, I remember just looking at that stoplight, and it got bigger and bigger, and I started to fall asleep. And my son goes, "Mom, are we going to school?" And I realized in that moment, one, that I had fallen asleep at the wheel at the stoplight, and two, I couldn't remember where I was going. I stopped driving that day. I was afraid to drive a car in that condition. So this went on for several months in my life, and God did have mercy on me. He gave me some good medical care, and they did something called ablating my thyroid, which was taking radiation to kill the thyroid and then replacing it with thyroid hormone. And over the process of about 6 months, I began to feel more like myself. But that time was so powerful because my body was so disconnected from my faith. My emotions were so disconnected from my faith. My behavior was erratic. I didn't feel like myself, and I did not like myself during those times. And I don't know about you, but maybe you've had a struggle in your life where you're not really liking yourself a whole lot either. And all of this thriving and the power of God manifesting himself in your life is sounding super good, right? Well, it's possible. God, that is what God wants for us. And so this time, we all are going to have times, and in fact, we all, this side of heaven, have a certain amount of disconnect between our body, soul, and spirit. And so our soul is the life of the personality. It's the mind, our thinker. It's the will, our chooser. And our emotions, our feeler. I love the way Bill Gillum in the Lifetime Guarantee makes it so simple. Our thinker, our feeler, and our chooser. I can't do rocket science, but I can hang on to that concept. Our personality, our mind, our will, and emotions. That makes up the territory of the soul. Our body is our physical way of getting around and interacting with our physical environment. Our soul, our personality, will, mind, and emotions is how we deal with ourselves and how we engage with the events and the other people in our lives. It's who we think that we are. Have you ever said, well, my personality is, the personality test, maybe you're a beaver or a dolphin. Oh, no, that's not right. A beaver or a golden retriever or an otter. Or if you've done strength finders, maybe you're a woo. I love that one. Maybe you think your personality is this or that. And we all have personality traits that God gave us. He wove them into our DNA with love and care. Psalm 139 talks about how carefully God created us in our mother's womb. And all of those traits are unique to you. But there's some things that happen in our lives that we think are personality that really aren't personality. Have you ever said, well, I'm an impatient person? Or for me, I'm an anxious person. I can't tell you how many times I have said, I'm an anxious person. And we have this tendency to have an experience in life and to have a certain belief about it, draw a certain conclusion about it. I've experienced anxiety. I couldn't fix it, so therefore, I'm an anxious person. And then I began to own that. I began to let that define me. I began to walk in that. That's not my personality. That's a struggle of my flesh. That's a way that I've learned to cope with life when I can't control something. And how you cope with life is probably a little different from me. But we all develop ways of coping with life and develop things that we believe about ourselves that come from our experiences, that come from things people have said to us, that come from reactions and responses that we've begun to own and think are our personality. And that's not who you are in Christ. Amen. Who you are in Christ is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, holiness, saintly, righteous, forgiven, accepted, redeemed, wanted. That is your whole and holy identity in Christ. And this other stuff is struggles of this world. Struggles that we all walk through, and those are those times when we get to walk faith by faith, from faith to faith. Keep choosing in the moment. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to let Him be the caretaker of my soul. I believe it is Psalms 53 that says, the Lord is my helper. He is the sustainer of my soul. And you know, sometimes I feel like I'm the sustainer of my soul, the caretaker of my soul, and the warden of my soul. And it's kind of like lifting up a big heavy rock. And I try to walk around in freedom in Christ. And I can't hardly move because I'm so weighed down by the struggles of my flesh, by anxiety, by fearfulness. I'll let you in on a little secret. There are moments when I struggle with insecurity. There are moments where I care so much about what you think. I will let your opinion drive my behavior. Don't tell anybody. Okay? Pinky promise you won't tell anybody. There are days when I feel worthless. There are days when I feel insignificant, and I want to be significant. God made me that way, and He made you that way. He gave us all these basic needs to be loved, valued, accepted, to be significant, to be secure, to know our worth. Because you're a daughter of the King. And by what God has done within you and the redemptive power and blood of Jesus, you are all glorious within. And you walk in that. And so our soul gives us a little problem sometimes. Sometimes it does not want to straighten up and play nice. Personality, thoughts. Anybody struggle with your thoughts every now and then?
Yes.
Emotions.
Yes.
Let's not even talk about menopause. And will. Oh my goodness, will. I am willing to go on a diet until the next piece of chocolate shows up. There are so many things that I want to do in this life that I don't seem to have the willpower to do. And then there's things I don't want to do and I do them. Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans.
That is the struggle of our flesh. And our soul is where that flesh resides until we put Jesus in the throne room. Until we get really our brains around the fact that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. He is our source of life. He's our source of truth. So my emotions may be telling me that God has abandoned me because I can't feel Him in the middle of an anxiety attack. But what is true is God is faithful. He is present. His Holy Spirit dwells within me. He's not going anywhere. That's what's true. So I need to believe in the moment what God says is true rather than what my emotions might say are true. And maybe some of you have people in your lives who say all kinds of things to you that aren't very uplifting. Well, if you would just da-da-da-da-da-da. Or maybe you had a parent who was a perfectionist and you could never meet their approval. We've all had experiences where people spoke things into our lives that became beliefs that we hold about ourselves. And when we come face to face with the truth of God, that we're holy, redeemed, righteous, accepted, and all of that, we struggle to really believe it because these messages, these false truths that are part of our experience. And so part of trusting God to take care of and sustain your soul is letting Him begin to take you through that process of learning to examine what you believe. Learning to examine the messages in your emotions. So now when I experience anxiety, I have a conversation like this. Lord, wow, I'm feeling really anxious. Don't like it. But what's this really about? What am I really believing right now? My body is telling me, my emotions are telling me, you're going to let me down, that I can't trust you. And as long as I keep looking at that, what's my experience going to be? Oh, this is what I'm going to experience as long as I stay focused on the problem. But if I can turn and say, Father, I can't make myself not feel anxious right now, so I'm just going to surrender that to you. I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to trust you. Lord, I need for you to be life within me. And your life isn't anxious. And I know that my holy identity is not fearful because there is no fear in love. And that you have given me the power of a sound mind. So I'm going to trust you for that. And Lord, would you express yourself? Would you reveal yourself? Would you manifest yourself with what I need? For a while, I would tell him what I needed. Now I'm just learning to say, Lord, you know what I need. Could you, you know? Because he obviously has used the struggle with anxiety in my life for his power and his glory. By being able to share that story, by being able to relate. So, you know, maybe for a moment he doesn't want to automatically fix my fear. Maybe he wants for me to discover more about his power and his goodness and that he really is making me holy and whole, even though I might struggle in the moment. In our core beliefs, there are the things that we know are true by the Word of God. And then there's the things that we've just talked about, the things that we believe are true. And way down deep in our subconscious, they lie side by side and they're kind of all tangled up. And part of this process of learning to live by faith, from faith, and to live in the righteousness of Christ by faith is allowing God to get in there a little bit at a time to start to sort those things out. And one of the verses that has been so powerful for me, so very powerful for me, is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And in the message, it talks about God is the one who makes you holy and whole. And he will keep making you holy and whole until the day of Jesus. And then it says, if he said it, he will do it. And as I began to read that verse, I began to say, Lord, I can't
make myself holy and whole. I can't even stop being afraid. But I'm going to trust you to make me holy and whole, to put me together, spirit, soul, and body, and to bring my life into a harmony that I can't accomplish on my own effort. And God has been doing that. He's not done yet. So I still have my moments. I still have my messy moments and those moments where I take the reins of control back. But more and more, we're walking forward in faith. And more, I'm experiencing God as peace in the midst of anxiety. More and more, I'm experiencing His life in the middle of my brokenness. What is this word, holiness? The root words, the English root words of that word holy mean to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, to be uninjured, to be healthy, to be complete, and I love this one, happy. Those are the roots of the English word holy. And when God is working within us, taking care of our spiritual growth, manifesting Himself in our life, and we're cooperating with Him moment by moment, and we're walking from faith to faith in the righteousness of Christ rather than the self-righteousness of what we can accomplish on our own, we're going to live that Zoe life by faith. And God is making us whole. He's making us healthy. He is in the process of making us complete. And with that is great joy. Great, great joy and happiness. So during those days, I prayed for healing every day. I wanted relief, but God wanted growth. And during those anxiety-ridden days and nights, I read Bible verses again and again. I said them softly. I journaled them. I put them on the wall. I shouted them. I sang them. I muttered them. And one of the ones that kept coming to me again and again is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And that's a favorite verse of many because it's one of those verses that we need a lot. And I love the way the Message translation puts it. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So I want to ask you, what is happening in the center of your life right now? What are you believing in this moment? And what are you experiencing lately? Are the coping ways of your flesh, the ways that you've learned to get your needs met, to find control, to get what you want in life, are those driving you right now? Or are you experiencing Christ's life within you, giving you peace in the midst of difficult circumstances, giving you wisdom in the moment in a conversation when you're not quite sure what to say? It's wonderful what happens when Christ begins to displace worry in our life. And it's wonderful what happens when Christ begins to display whatever other manifestation of the flesh is happening in us. It's wonderful what happens when our faith in God moves us to believe what's true and keep putting our attention on His truth and His presence and His promises rather than our problems. These are wonderful things, and God is in the process, moment by moment, by the power, that saving, delivering power that is present in your life right now and will not leave you for eternity. He's in the process of making you holy and whole. I can remember writing, Lord, I'm still feeling terrible. I'm not sleeping. I need deliverance, Lord. I can remember writing in my journal, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You're going to have to bring the strength because I don't have any. Today I can hardly walk across the street. Another day I wrote, who am I? Where did the best part of me go? I don't like this person. And another day I wrote, I believe you are the God who makes me holy and whole. But I'm falling apart in broken pieces. I'm leaving a trail of worry and fear everywhere I go. Please, Father, put me together, spirit, soul, and body. Choosing holy in the hard comes down to how we respond in the moment. And making that choice for now faith, to activate our faith, to choose and trust what God is saying is true, to take our focus and attention off of the messages and the lies and the problems that are before us and put our attention on our Father and trust Him with it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to solve it. You don't even have to understand it. He does. And He's in the process of making you holy and whole, so that you can thrive and really actually experience in your life the power of Christ in you, as you. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing that we reach moment by moment. There's not going to be this one place. Do you ever have this thought of, hey, if I can just sit right here, I'll be okay? Like if I can get a piece of diapers, I'll be okay.
Thank you.